It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Very personal question today, in particular if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus. Do you have a sense of divine purpose? A sense of mission in your life, a sense of destiny? Do you live with a sense of destiny? Do you have this feeling deep down on the inside of you? It may be articulated where you understand it in specific ways, or it may be gut level. I have a purpose. I have a mission. I'm here on this earth for a reason, and it gets me out of bed in the morning, and it gives me focus for life. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Hope you had a blessed weekend. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to call in. If you'd like to interact on Facebook, go to Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown on Facebook. I'm on this subject today for a couple of reasons. One is I was meditating on my own life the other day, thinking, okay, if I'm not martyred in obedience to God, which many believers through the centuries and even today around the world get martyred, I don't have a death wish, but I was just thinking, okay, if I'm not martyred, and if by God's grace I stay healthy in the race, how many years can I run full speed if Jesus doesn't come first? How many years can I run full speed? 30 more years, I'm 55. I think I'm in better shape now than I've been in years and stronger in a lot of ways. Okay, can I... All right, 85, you're running strong until 30 years, can I, or 25 years, and what, you know, I was just thinking about this and everything I want to see God do in the earth and be part of and do myself for his kingdom, not personal ambition, but for his kingdom, for his purposes. I was thinking about the situation in France where, maybe there's something I'm missing, okay? I'm not French and I'm not part of European culture. But, you know, these protests and riots and real shaking going on in the nation because they've proposed raising the age of retirement from 60 to 62. I mean, look, we've got politicians in their 80s and they're going strong. We've got other people leading in different areas in society and intellectuals, and they're going strong, and they're older religious leaders that are in their 90s and still standing strong. And I can't imagine the mentality. You've got college students protesting, upset, because the age of retirement is being moved from 60 to 62. So that got me thinking about, okay, how many people live with a sense of purpose? How many people do a job and it's drudgery and they can't wait to retire from that job to give themselves to something else? Okay, that I can understand. Hey, I'm not looking to retire from life, but I've been working hard, working a job. It's menial. It's difficult. It's not exciting, but I do it to pay the bills and to care for my family and to help others. And when I'm done with that, then I want to do this, or I want to go on missions trips, or I want to feed the poor, or I want to help in my church, or I want to devote time to studying this new area. That I can understand. But I think a lot of people have a sense of mission, have a sense of destiny, have a sense of purpose that's tied in with a particular job that they're doing as well. So it got me wondering, how many people think the way I think? How many people feel the way I feel? Hey, are you a mom at home with your kids? And it fills a lot of your schedule every day, raising little kids, maybe homeschooling in addition to that. Do you have a sense of purpose? Do you have a sense of purpose, destiny for your own life, even right now? Not 30 years from now. You know, there's the joke that there's a priest, a Protestant minister, and a rabbi, and they're having a discussion about when does life begin. And the Catholic priest says, well, we're very firm on that. Catholicism, life begins at conception, and that's church doctrine. And they ask the Protestant pastor, he's a liberal denomination, he says, well, you know, there's a lot of speculation, and it's a difficult question. Does life begin at conception? Does life begin at a certain point in fetal development? Does life begin when the child's born? There's biblical discussion and theological discussion. Is a difficult question. They ask the rabbi, you know, when does life begin? He says, we believe life begins when the children leave home. Now, of course, it's just a joke because Judaism puts a great emphasis on families, kids, etc. But you're home as a mom. I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you have a sense of purpose? Maybe just your own walk with God gives you a sense of purpose. Maybe active service in the community gives you a sense of purpose. Maybe pouring into your kids every day gives you a sense of purpose. You're working a job. You're out of the home. You're a computer programmer. You are a construction worker. You are serving on church staff somewhere. Do you have a sense of divine purpose? Do you have a sense, I'm here in this world for a reason? I have a sense of mission in my own life. Maybe it's gut feeling and you can't articulate what it is. Maybe it's something very specific having to do with your specific job or aspect of spiritual service. I'm just curious. I've gotten interesting responses already in answer to this question on Facebook, which is encouraging to read. But weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH. Tell me if you live with a sense of purpose, destiny, or if maybe it's a matter of, I know there's something for me to do, but I haven't found it yet. We're not asking for your life story, and you don't have to get into all kinds of details that are personal. But I'm curious about this. So one thing got me wondering about this subject was the mandatory retirement age thing in France and the idea that many people just want to slow down and relax and enjoy life, which is fine. I mean, there are places for that. There should be on a regular basis the Sabbath rest and that kind of thing. And certainly I look forward to seasons where I'm not carrying necessarily the same load all the time and can step back and chill and so on. But the idea of just wanting to get to be in your 60s and maybe people have health problems and monetary problems, they're worn out, family's been torn apart and they've lost their sense of vision, purpose. But others, I just can't imagine the idea of just want to go on vacation or just chill or play with the grandkids. I love playing with the grandkids, but the idea of just, that's it. That's what you get to. I don't get it. Okay, the other thing that got me wondering about this was an email from Nicholas. And he wrote this: I've read many of your books. They've stirred me to prayer, Revolution in the Church, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, etc. I recently, a few months ago, started listening to your podcast, and I'm enjoying that as well. Thanks for all you do in your ministry. I'm a young man in his early 20s, and as someone who has been crying out for revival, I wanted to know about the fruits you have seen. These are kind of personal and riveting questions, so if you don't want to answer, I'll understand, but please hear my heart in this. I want to learn from those who have gone before me. Have you personally seen the kind of healings you lamented in the church in not walking in your book, that the church is not walking in your book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, Blind from Birth, See, Lame with Short Legs Growing Out, etc.? Why or why not? If so, a testimony would be very encouraging. There's a lot of hype out there, and I trust you not to hype things up. Have you seen the soul say that you've yearned for? Why or why not? Does your fire still burn as deeply as in times past? How do you keep the flame afresh? If you could do it all over again, what would you change? Love and blessings on your ministry. May God bring his people into repentance and our nation into revival. Hey, Nicholas, not only am I going to respond to that, I'm going to respond to it on the air because I think these are important questions for us all to reflect on. So it gets me to the question, purpose, mission, calling. What do you live for? Is there something burning in you that you're willing to die for? Do you have a sense of being part of a cause, part of a divine purpose? Let me try to grab one call before the break. Angela in Jacksonville, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you.
Yeah, so tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I have a purpose, and I know what it is, and it will only be possible with his help because it's letting people know about a lot of potential for betterment of our world through God-given advances and talents and science. But there's whole worlds of people that don't understand anything about mental health, and there's so much misinformation. My purpose is I don't do any research. All I do is reading. I have a law degree. I have a medical technology degree. God didn't put me in a position to use either one of those, but to spend my life trying to lecture. I've even written a book, basically, The Delay in Mental Illness Recovery, explaining that why so many, you know, teachers and schools and media and medical doctors and people just don't accept all the advances that have been made in the science of healing the brain from problems. And there's still so much judgment and divorces and substance abuse and suicide and all these things related, as any mental health professional would know, to untreated brain problems. But
got it. Well, that's quite a sense of purpose there. And I pray the Lord gives you grace to be used effectively and to bring healing and wholeness to many. Angela, thanks for weighing in. All right, back with more calls and my responses to this probing email on the other side of the break. The Line of Fire, Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. By the way, it's great to meet a bunch of our listeners in Jacksonville, Florida, yesterday, listening on 91.7 The Truth. Okay, what are you doing Monday night? Monday night, a week from today, Monday night, November 1st, between 7 and 9:30 in the evening. What are you doing? All right, no, not the right answer. If you live anywhere in the greater Charlotte area, by all means, be with us at Southern Evangelical Seminary, where I will be debating, God willing, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on the question of, is homosexual activism America's greatest moral crisis? Trust me, this is a debate you don't want to miss. It'd be a free entry, and an offering will be received to cover expenses. You say, I don't live like 10 hours away, or I'm across the country. No problem. We will have a live webcast. Same thing, free webcast and donations to help with the expenses. So stay tuned here. Excuse me. We'll be giving you all the information on that. All right. We've asked the question, divine purpose. Do you have a sense of purpose? I didn't ask if you're pastoring a church. I didn't ask if you're a missionary. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus in particular, I want to ask this question. When you wake up in the morning, when you go through your day, whether that day consists of standing as a policeman and conducting traffic and then making arrests, whether that day consists of changing diapers, whether that day consists of being a school teacher, whether that day consists of preaching on street corners, do you have a sense of divine calling, divine purpose, mission, destiny in your life? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There's a response on Facebook, not sure how to pronounce the name, it could be Blue. I asked specifically, do you personally feel that you have a divine mission on this earth? Do you live with the sense that there is a destiny and purpose for your life? I know I do. I'm carried by it. I'm moved by it. I'm stirred by it continually. There's hardly a part of a day that goes by where I don't carry this sense. And I've carried it for many, many years, no matter what ministry setting I found myself in. And when I was in secular work for employment, I had the same deep sense of calling, purpose. You say, well, that's different because you're in ministry, you're radio, you debate people. And well, it may be different, it may not be. And Blue made this comment in answer to the question, do you live with the sense that there's divine mission for you on this earth, a sense of purpose and destiny for your life? Blue said, yes, otherwise he wouldn't have made me. I like that. I like that answer. Yes, otherwise he wouldn't have made me. Let me grab another call. Gabriel in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing great.
Yeah, so how would you respond to this? Do you have a sense of purpose, mission, destiny?
Yeah, I do. For as long as I've known, I have. And, I get this thing. I was talking to my sister about it one time, and she said it's kind of like divine frustration because I'm working at a job and, you know, I do gospel rap music. And so, you know, I just want to get into that. I don't like the term full-time ministry, but I just want to get into that full-time, you know. And so, you know, I am a witness at my job, a witness for Christ, and I talk to the customers and stuff like that, and I try to be kind with them and just practice biblical principles with them. But it's kind of like, you know, the job kind of feels like it's in the way. You know, it's like a job.
I understand.
It's a frustration. But I do have that sense of purpose, and like when you were talking about that, that really spoke to me.
Hey, now, I like what you're doing in that you're trying to be effective, be a witness, make a difference where you are in the here and now. You said something, though, that I like, and I think I know why you said it. Why is it you don't like the term full-time ministry?
Because I think that's where we should be everywhere they
uh-huh.
go. We should be ministering and finding ways to show the love of Christ to people.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gabriel. If you're saved, if you're a follower of Jesus, that means you're in full-time ministry. You may not be paid to do it as a vocation, but I see it the exact same way. And the one word of counsel and encouragement I give you, because I've been in that exact same situation several times in my life, that divine frustration, as you call it, is that what has to happen is first thing, you do your best to be effective wherever you are, as you're doing. You do your best to make a difference, to be a light, to be a soul winner, to look for divine appointments. Because often you brush shoulders with the world more when you're not in, quote, full-time ministry, you know, because you're around people. But what I've often done is taken that sense of divine frustration until it builds to a holy desperation. And I'm just agonizing in prayer, and you feel like you're going to explode on the inside because you're burning. You have the sense of calling and purpose, and the doors don't seem to be open, and you know you're called to do something, and the release isn't there to do it. And when that becomes so intensely consuming in prayer, it's almost like the thing explodes and bursts. And then in the meantime, God's developing you, developing character, developing other things in you, so that when that next step is taken, you can be all the more effective for Him. We're tracking. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, grace to you. Bye-bye. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. What goes on the inside of you? Do you feel just like you're surviving? Maybe you're in a battle. Look, everybody can go through a really difficult time. Maybe it's chronic pain. Maybe it's terrible financial pressure. Maybe something's tearing your family apart. And maybe you're just under severe attack. Maybe you've been through a terrible church split. Maybe you've been through a divorce. And these things can happen, and they knock the wind out of us. And the sense of purpose, the sense of destiny, the sense of having a place in this world for God, it can be lost at times. But I believe for every child of God, there's a calling, that every part of the body has value, has importance, that there is something for each of us to do that is unique and that is called, and that there's a calling which is the highest of all, which I'm going to get into, I guess, on the other side of the break as I look at the clock here. Let me start to respond to some of the questions that Nicholas asked me that got me thinking about this as well. Have you personally seen the kind of healings you lamented that the church is not walking in your book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God? Nicholas, I haven't personally seen in front of my eyes some of the healings I've longed to see. I've seen people healed. I've prayed for people and received reports verified later from doctors of what seems to be clearly miraculous healing. I have not personally walked in these things, but they have not been as major a focus, healing of the sick, as it was a focus when I was writing that book. That being said, I have friends and colleagues who have absolutely seen in front of their eyes these types of miracles: blind from birth, healed; deaf and mute from birth, healed. I was preaching in Germany recently with Heidi Baker, ministering in Mozambique, and she's talked about extraordinary miracles among the poorest of the poor, and not with any famous people working them, of everything you could imagine. I have other friends and colleagues on the front lines, normally with the poor, and normally not the kind of thing that's captured on national Christian television either. But extraordinary miracles, wonderful miracles, by the hundreds, even by the thousands, of God's genuine power being manifest. He is at work in the earth. We'll be back. Michael Brown talking about purpose, talking about destiny, talking about why you're here in this world. Is there a mission? Is there a sense of God put me here for a reason? And whether you're home changing diapers, whether you're sitting behind a desk at work, whether you're preaching from a pulpit, do you have this sense of I'm here on this earth for a purpose, for a reason? 866-34-TRUTH. Again, I got thinking about this when I was thinking about my own life, 55, numbering my days, thinking, okay, can I run strong? God gives me the years. Jesus doesn't come back. I'm not martyred for the faith. That can I run strong for 30 more years? Or for how long? Just run strong. Or some people are 90 and they're running strong. What would it be? And I'm thinking in France, people protesting because the retirement age cut to, they want to raise it to 62 from 60, and people are going crazy thinking retirement at the age of 60 or 62. Now, again, you may be working a job and that job's tedious and your sense of purpose is not related to your job. And when you're done with that, you have other things you want to do. That's one thing. But the idea of just, hey, just retire and relax and enjoy life, I don't get it. I get the desire to enjoy life, but what about the sense of purpose, destiny, one shot? One crack at it while we're here. We'll be putting up a link in a moment on our website, on the Line of Fire website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire to a message I preached years back called Holy Desperation. In fact, Gabriel, we've got this on video, if not DVD. I'd love to send you a copy. Phone lines are jammed now, but when they open up, if you can get in and just leave us your name and address, Gabriel, I just spoke to you in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I want to send you a copy of that message, Holy Desperation, and we'll have a link where you can all listen to it for free online. I've started something new on the broadcast, Email of the Week, and a grad wrote to me privately, and I said, man, I want to read this on the air as the email of the week. Came in last week. I'll do this sometimes Monday, sometimes different days. But he read the article, the Christian Post, about a talk I gave at Southern Evangelical Seminary's Apologetics Conference last weekend about a queer thing happened to America. Where do we go from here? And Christian Post had a full-length article on it that's gotten hundreds of comments on their website. You can read it, go in a Line of Fire. Just you'll see it in last week's shows. This is what he wrote. Read the Christian Post article. It's from David. The storm clouds have gathered, yet we have failed to discern the increasing darkness because our eyes are not singular, but distracted and concerned about the status of our Facebook lives, our posts, and their witnesses, rather than choosing the one place necessary, listening to what the Spirit is saying. We have put down the cross and picked up the mouse, desiring to be seen and read by all men, yet not as living epistles testifying to his life within us. Our faces are more often aglow with the light of the monitor than from a face-to-face encounter. Well, that's penetrating stuff. David continues, I'm burdened about the civilian concern that we demonstrate while called to be on active duty and the entanglements that have produced a steady inward choking of the word and its fruit. Quite an email, and speaks to many of us that the purpose, the calling that we have, the mission that we have gets diluted, watered down by the other distractions, and we're not in vibrant contact with God from whom our sense of mission, calling, destiny comes. Back to the phones. Donna in Lexington, North Carolina, thanks for calling.
Dr. Brown, one of my missions is to listen to you every day and be in front of the radio. That's one of them, okay?
Oh, bless your heart. You win. You win.
I listen to you every
Thank you.
But I work with seniors, and I know that this is of God. So I know that I am doing kingdom work. It's not the money. I work from home. I'm independent. And I know it's of God because my mother was sick in a nursing home, and as a result of me not understanding Medicare, and that's my passion, is working with the Medicare part of the senior community. It's helping them understand it. I don't charge anything. People ask me, why don't you charge? Because God hasn't told me to charge. I trust him wholeheartedly, and the pay is not that good. And so, and I continue to do it, and it's a ministry. You know, it's a ministry because I know that I am helping them. My scripture that is on my cards, when I even through 13, through you, through Epperson on the radio, It's Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I know that this is kingdom work and this is a mission. No, I'm not in the pulpit, and yes, I've been told that. I know I'm a minister, but like you said earlier, it's not all about being in the pulpit. My ministry is going out in the highways and the byways, and it's not to help the rich, Dr. Brown. I will help those who are financially, you know, able, but my mission is to help those who are on fixed incomes to know their resources, to understand, you know, if it's a choice between a prescription drug or the light bill. That's kingdom work.
Yes.
Because you know what? Both of my parents are deceased. And in flesh, I really could care less about whether you have a senior have Medicare or not in the flesh. So I know that that's what's driving me. That's what gets me up. That's what takes me out. I don't go looking for it, Dr. Brown. I don't run for it. It comes to me. And every client that God opened up the door for is been because of referrals and my light shining. People can hear the passion when I talk about this. And I always open up with prayer, and I always open up with scripture when I do speaking engagements or wherever I am. I give God the glory first, and then I share my testimony about my mother being sick and how I went to school and got my license, and that's how I know this is kingdom work for me.
Yeah, Donna, it's absolutely kingdom work, and if people could have that mentality and recognize that this is doing ministry, this is having purpose, and it may be out of the limelight, it may be where no one sees it, or only God sees it, but that's an awesome testimony, and thank you for including me in your mission. I'm blessed by that. Hopefully we'll keep fueling your fire. Bless you, Donna. Keep it up.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right, God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call. Pierre in Gastonia. We've got 1 minute, so dive right in, sir.
Hey, Dr. Brown. This is Pierre.
Thank you
for taking my call.
You bet.
You just made mention of purpose. Basically, long story short, December of 93, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was on the 19th. On the 26th, I was baptized. And by the time in 1995, I started school. And in 1997, Shaw University forced me to look at the vision. Where is God sending you? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And so I had to write it down in basically a statement. And the statement was this, and it's been the drive force of my life. And it's basically this. Senior pastor of the Baptist Church, followed by a career in teaching an undergrad, grad, and doctoral program. And since that time, I've gone forward and got my bachelor's, master's, and doctor of theology, and senior pastor, and teaching. So I'm doing what he is supposed to do.
And how many years ago did you lay that out?
1997.
Well, bless you, man. Hey, I'd love to meet up with you in Gastonia one day. Hopefully we can do that. Thank you for the call. God bless. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, talking about purpose, talking about destiny, talking about a sense of mission in this world. Why are we here? What does God have for us? 866-34-TRUTH. I've also been responding in the midst of this show to some questions that Nicholas asked, young man in his 20s, been stirred to prayer reading a number of my books, and asked questions about, does the fire still burn in me? The things I've longed for, have I seen them? I want to respond to a few more and then get back to the phones. Nicholas asked, have you seen the soul saved that you've yearned for? Why or why not? Nicholas, first I'd say, to the extent I've longed for soul saved, I've seen things happen. Now, there are people I'm still praying for to this day. I long to see saved, and I've cried out to God for them. They're not saved yet. But we saw a great outpouring of the Brownsville Revival, Nicholas, for years. And the fruit of that remains. The fruit remains around the world. Some of the people dramatically saved and touched are now serving as missionaries in different nations and bearing fruit. We saw a harvest of thousands and thousands of people being saved. And if you want to include people coming back to God and believers repenting, hundreds of thousands. But thousands and thousands being saved. As far as Jews saved that I want to see saved, no. Just, of course, we always get reports and testimonies, and I meet people, but I yearn to see all Israel saved. So some of the things I'm yearning for will not happen, will not come to pass until we're closer and closer to the end of the age. Does your fire still burn as deeply as in times past? Nicholas asks. How do you keep the flame afresh? In some ways, it burns just as deeply, just as intensely, because I'm burdened, because there are things I long to see happen, because I have this sense of calling and purpose, and I'm jealous for the glory of God, and I burn because the world is messed up, and I burn because so much of the church is asleep, and yes, the flame is fresh. In other ways, it's not as fresh as it was because of distractions, because of being busy with other things that are secondary and not spending the focus time sufficiently alone with God on my knees in his presence, which for me is the best way to meet with him in a focused way. So in some ways it burns as deeply as in times past, and other ways not as deeply, and that's something I constantly seek to address. I was just talking to Nancy last night, encouraging her to keep encouraging me. We encourage one another to go after God and go deeper after God. And that leads to the next question. If you could do it all over again, what would you change? Well, obviously, stupid things I did, I wouldn't do again. Things where I learned from a mistake, I wish I would have known before making it. I wish my life was more deeply consecrated without sin in the almost 40 years I've been serving him, just about to be 39 now. So, I mean, we all long for that, you know, long to have never been distracted or backslidden from one area of strength or another. But if I was actually talking to Nancy about this subject in response to this very question, I would say that I would have operated more with the less is more philosophy, something we continue to strive to move in life and ministry, because I am multi-interested. When I started studying languages in college, I ended up taking 6 different languages. It's great if you can learn 6 at once. I did well, but I could have done better if I concentrated maybe on 3 or even 4 versus 6. I could be so spread thin because I feel called to do so many different things, whereas the philosophy is less is more. You know what that's used in music? You hear studio musicians, and they're some of the greatest musicians in the world, and yet they're not playing crazy all over the place because less is more. You want an effective sign? You're advertising. You say, oh, I know, we want to put like everything. We want to put our website and our phone number, and then we want to put a testimony on there. We want to put this. It's like, no. No one's going to see it. No one's going to read it. Get one or two words. Get a little message out. Less is more. So I would have operated on that philosophy, keeping the roots down deep, prayer, seeking God, being in his word, personal devotion first and foremost, and then try not to take on as many different things, operate under the philosophy of less is more if I could do things differently. Just want to read one comment to you. The question we must ask ourselves is, what are we on the planet for? We are called to bring God to the world. We are not here to have a nice life. In that sense, every single one of us as followers of Jesus, as exemplified by our last two callers, every one of us, whether it is in a quote non-official ministry position, caring for elderly people, ministering to them, bringing the love of Jesus to them as Donna did with a great attitude behind it, or Pierre as a pastor felt called to get certain education, to go on to be a senior pastor and teach at a certain level, and he's done it. Both are equally divine callings. Both are equally divine purposes. You are here for a reason. You are not a duplicate of anybody. You're not a clone of anybody. Your life, no matter where it's been, is not a waste. If you'll give yourself over to God, he has purpose, destiny for you in this planet. Back with more. We've been focusing on purpose, on mission, on why we are here, asking the question, do you have a sense of divine destiny? I talked to an atheist flying to Germany. Actually, we had to turn around over the Atlantic and head back because there was a problem, navigational system. That was a little bit interesting. And he had a company, and he in this company, he's a medical company. He's obviously doing a lot of good. And I asked him, Russian atheist who's looked for religious faith but been unable to find it, does he have a sense of purpose or mission or destiny? And he said, no. I thought, how can you live? How can you live without that? Just something I wonder about. I've got a few more reflections that I want to bring you on a practical level. I was saying before the break, if I did things differently, I would operate on the less is more philosophy, meaning focus on less different aspects of ministry and give myself to those few more intensely. Now again, I've sought to be obedient to the Lord through the years, but I've done a lot of different things. It's not, but in the process of being obedient, done a lot of different things. And I've been overseas by God's grace over 100 different times around the world, and then written wide ranges of different books and preached in different settings and lectured seminaries and then debate rabbis and, you know, lots of different things. It's all been part of the calling. But sometimes I'd allow myself to be spread too thin. If I could do things differently, I'd try to focus more clearly on key areas of calling, give myself to them. That would be a fine-tuning thing in life. But to be clear, less is more does not apply to prayer or quality time with God or quality time in relationships or quality time in service. It applies to non-essentials, cutting away the non-essentials. What I'd like you to consider is this, though. If there's a purpose for you on this earth, you've got to align yourself with God. You've got to align yourself with the one who designed you. That if I spend all my time, for example, watching sports or reading newspaper, playing video games or gardening or just doing something else that's secondary, all right? I'm not saying you can't do that. I relaxed Saturday night. I was a little tired. I thought, you know, I'm just going to watch some of a football game for a little while. Okay, it's not a sin to do that unless we're watching something wrong or we're called to do something else. But if we're just distracted and then on top of it pollute it with the sin of this world, how are we going to know our purpose? How are we going to walk in it? How is that going to be real to us when the things of this world so dilute us and pollute us and distract us and burden us and get us sidetracked? This is an email I read earlier. They choke the word in accordance with what Jesus taught in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, and Mark 4, and Luke 8. So we've got to get rightly connected with the source to know our divine purpose and destiny. Otherwise, we'll lose it or it'll just be some vague, nebulous thing. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Listen to the message, Holy Desperation. It's free. It's an audio link. It'll stir you. It'll challenge you. It'll encourage you. And then don't forget our debate with Shmuley Boteach Monday, a week from tonight, November 1st. We'll be sending out an e-blast with info on that. All right. Let me give you my bottom line. If you're a child of God, you are called. You are called to the highest possible calling. You are called to be a son or daughter of God. You are called to be part of the Great Commission. You are called to be an ambassador for Jesus. You are called to be the light of the world. You are called to be the salt of the earth. You are called to be, in Jesus, a priest. You are called to be a branch of his vine. You are called to be a world changer. So I want to encourage you. Aside from a specific sense of mission and destiny and purpose, which is wonderful and greatly helpful, can I remind you that the highest calling of all is to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a child of God, to be part of his family, part of his body, part of his army in this earth? And if you can take hold of that, talk about purpose, talk about destiny, you'll burn with it, you'll live it 24/7. And then a specific sense of mission will come out of that. That's my bottom line. Back with you tomorrow.